You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today, you're going to get a conversation with Laura Griffin. She's not just a practicing realtor. She is the queen of Facebook. That's right. And she's younger than I am. So you're going to get information you can use, maybe have one of your assumptions undone so that you can make your business stronger. So enjoy the conversation. I'll see you on the other side. Laura Griffin, tell our listeners where you're located, a little bit about you and what you do related to real estate. Give them a little snapshot.
My name is Laura Griffin. I'm a real estate agent in the Northern Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. And I also am a real estate coach, and I help real estate agents use the power of Facebook groups to get leads in their business.
Okay, so a lot of agents will be surprised to know that a millennial is using Facebook, because in social media world, we talk about Facebook now as being for the old people, Instagram for, well, my daughter says it was the moms who ruined Instagram. And I said, well, you're welcome. And then the young folks use TikTok, and I refuse to because it's owned by the Chinese Communist Party, but that's a whole different conversation. So tell us why Facebook is still relevant for a not older agent. And honestly, are people still going to use it in an election year? I want to hear all the opinions on Facebook.
You know, what's funny is if I look at all my transactions for the last 5 years for the analytics, and I look at my group, everyone's in that 35 to 44 female group. And those are who are in my Facebook group and who I do my transactions with. And it's where I fit in too. So I don't really think millennials are going off of Facebook.
All rumors. It's all gossip. Rumors. And actually, it's probably just agents chasing the hot best next thing, trying to not do the things that they've always been doing. So how did you get started with Facebook being a business platform? Because I think for a lot of people, they get really tangled up between personal and business when it comes to their socials.
Yes. And it can be a little bit dicey. So I started a Facebook group for my local moms as just a way for me to make friends. And I need more friends. And then people started joining. And then it got to this big thing. And then I realized all my clients were coming from this Facebook group. And so I just decided I'm just going to lean into this because I hate the online leads. I didn't like doing open houses every weekend. I'm a mom. The other lead generation pillars we teach, door knocking and calling FSBOs, I didn't like it. And it was like, this is more natural to me. And so I just kind of leaned into the Facebook group, and that's where I get all of my business from now.
So do you talk real estate in your group, or are you talking mom talk and then they go to your profile to find out you're in real estate? How have you found the balance?
It is a balance. So I don't talk a lot of real estate. I have a content plan. One of the pillars in my plan is to kind of weave in a little bit of real estate, but I weave it in more of like storytelling. Actually, I listened to a podcast the other day of Jasmine Starr, and she talks about storytelling and how you weave that in. And I've kind of adopted her mantra of like weaving it in slightly instead of going, I'm a real estate agent. You got to use me to buy your and sell your house. It's, you know, I'm on my way to a listing appointment, or I just had a buyer's consult at this coffee shop. So it's like subtle ways that I do it. And then obviously I do promote some of my coming soon listings because we can about 21 days out. So I do leverage that as I've got a Loud Mom exclusive coming soon house. So I do it, but it's sparingly. It's not every week and it's not every day in my group.
And if you guys will notice, she did mention that she's doing that in compliance with her local multiple listing service rules. And so make sure that if you're, of course, posting anything in any group, you know your local rules, because yours are different than mine, different than Laura's. Mm-hmm. Just freaking read your rules. You guys all said you would when you signed up for your system, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, so when you started this group, how did you get people into it? I know that I belong to probably 40 million zillion groups on Facebook because I say yes when I'm invited because I feel like it's a nice thing to do. And then I forget it's there because I never see it again with Facebook controlling the algorithm. So if somebody wanted to be thinking about the planning for this, how do you get people in it and how do you get them to see it? And what are some best practices for them?
Yeah, so the average person is between 10 to 30 groups. So you might be an odd bear. You've got a lot more.
Yes to everything. I think most people probably don't say yes to everything, but I feel obligated.
I do too. I think I'm probably at like 50-ish or maybe more. Who knows?
I only visit two of those, so that's my problem.
Yeah, and so the funny thing is, we might belong to like the 30, but most of us stay in our lane of only a few, or Facebook says, ooh, here's a few. So to grow it, first you need to add your past clients. If you're using as a lead generation, past clients, friends, local family, if they're local. And then it starts to grow organically. If they like the content you're posting, people will start adding. You can run lead pages, Facebook ads to it if you really wanted to, or run contests to get people to join. And then once you hit the magical like 500, Facebook's like, you're real, and they're going to start pushing your group to more people, and it'll just start to blow up. So with Facebook groups, you have to feed the algorithm and you have to push out content that Facebook likes. So you'll need to do posts that are just strictly for that reason. And it's kind of like a TV show, right? Like your favorite show is on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. If you're consistent, Facebook starts to go, oh, they're consistent with their posting, and it'll start to push it because it's like regularly scheduled programming. It's there. It's so true, though. It's the weird, you know.
TV Guide, though, but it makes perfect sense. We relied on TV Guide as a print publication because we knew what to expect. And in a world where people like to know what to expect, but usually can't, you're actually feeding it, I guess, a human nature thing.
Yeah. And I don't know because I don't run Facebook, but I don't know how their algorithm works. Probably nobody does. Somebody in
it. If anybody knew, they're not telling us.
They're not telling us. So it's a magical thing. It's like the Wizard of Oz. It's like the guy, you know, whatever. So a lot of posts like for Feed the Algorithm are just quick little posts where everyone's going to comment, like drop a GIF on how your morning went, right? I'm a mom's group. So people are always going to do that. Or what's your favorite Starbucks drink? It's just these quick little things that people will just start to comment. And the more people that comment, Facebook goes, oh, I like this. People are engaging. They're building community. And so then it starts to feed it. And sometimes it's just random posts that will go viral in my group. I did one, kindergarten registration was yesterday. And boy, that post got thousands of views and hundreds of comments because it was a hot topic. So sometimes even Feed the Algorithm, that's something that's a hot topic that I know a lot of people are going to engage with that post. So I will post it.
So are you feeding a kindergarten registration post? If your mom's group has grown, you're probably seeing multiple schools in that area. How do you thread the needle of not telling people? And there's obviously privacy concerns. So you don't want to say, well, you know, my kid's here and here's my kid's name. And of course, in the mom groups, I've always noticed there'll be DS is dear son and DD, dear daughter, DH, dear husband. And when you're trying to get people to engage, the personal information engages them the most, but privacy is a concern. So how are you thread that when you're talking about schools?
So one of the things I did was congratulations. So that's a keyword that Facebook likes because people use it when they get married, when you're having a baby. It's one of those little trigger words. It likes congratulations.
And it's a happy trigger word. So yay for a happy.
Yeah. And I think it's like a dopamine hit, right? When we see that, it's like an exciting thing. So I did a post like congrats to all the moms today that have kindergartners starting. Exactly. It was said like, congrats, it's, you know, kindergarten registration day. You've made it to the end. Hopefully you're hopping off the daycare train and getting a pay raise this year. And everyone was like, yes, I'm getting a pay raise. And then one mom's like, I'm getting two because I have twins. So people started commenting. And then also people wanted to know, I forgot it was registration day. Reminded me, where's the link? So I post the county that we are in. I post the link where they need to go. And then my admin just made up a fancy PDF of like what you need for registration. We just copied what the county put out, but it made it look fancy and it was branded with all the disclosures and everything. And that was giving back to the community and it provided a lot of engagement and it got a ton of traction just from one little post.
So without giving anything away, really, except letting people connect their emotions, which is a huge thing, especially in a mom's group. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing the dad's group would probably be a different reaction to that post because that might not be what would happen. So if you're a dad watching this and you're going to start a group, just think about how your people talk. Mm-hmm. And it's just different ways to communicate. All right. So that's interesting. So when you're looking at the business side of that, how do you control the realtor urge? Because we know there's an urge. Somebody says, my twins are going to kindergarten. That realtor, I know what the mind says. She got a $4,000 a month pay raise. She can buy the bigger house. They're going to have sleepovers and they want to just jump on that person. How do you scale that urge back? How do you control that so that you don't become that realtor?
I will have conversations back and forth with them, comment on what they posted and things like that. And I actually had two moms reach out to me and they're like, you know, I just realized we're going to X kindergarten. I looked up the school ratings. I don't think that's going to be a fit. Can you help us? And so I've set up seller and buyer consult because they both own. But I don't jump in and say, oh, yeah, that's a horrible school. They came to me because they know that I sell real estate. But I often have had conversations back and forth about, you know, congratulations, you must be so excited, and just natural conversations that she would have with someone at a party.
So you responded to the comments on the post.
Mm-hmm.
People, seriously, like this is not rocket science. I don't know why Laura and I have to point this out. But if you post something like on your birthday, people put a post on your wall.
Yes.
Go say thank you. Let them know that you saw them. I think that's one of the most underutilized realities of social media, is that we're letting opportunities slide right by us because we're waiting on the person to say, I would like to purchase a home for $600,000 in this zip code, and I only want to talk. That's never how buyers talk. If they talk that way, they're probably scammers, or they're so frustrated by something else, they're not realistic. There's all these challenges you see if somebody's that obvious. Your best opportunities are when you do what Laura's talking about and just organically engage. And I love that you're thinking about the angle of they want a different zone, but you're not immediately going to judgment mode. And that's something else I think realtors have a very hard time with. You're going to bias yourself naturally toward the school where your kids are probably.
Mm-hmm.
Want to say what's the best, or it's this, it's that, but that's also a violation of fair housing. So remember, you've got your fair housing requirements when you are in these spaces, even if you're not their realtor. So you don't slam any school. You don't say any school is the best. You don't rank and rate, but you can absolutely offer resources. And that's exactly what you're doing here. So it's the perfect example, high five, of doing fair housing in a way that's not icky and gross, but honors people. And that's what we should be doing in real estate. So that's a great tip.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky-high fuel cost at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
So what's the biggest mistake you've made in running that mom's group? Since you've been running it for a while and you've got so many people in there, have you made any giant screw-ups that you've learned from or would go back and change if you could?
Yeah, I was an idiot at the beginning. I didn't realize, and things have changed too since I started, but you know, you've got those 3 magical entrance questions that everyone has to answer. And so I never collected people's email addresses, and then I never dumped them into a CRM or an email service provider, whatever. So I didn't collect about a couple thousand emails. Now, obviously I do, and I've been trying to backtrack it. So about the 10,000, I've only got about 6,000 of their emails, which is still a lot. But yeah, don't make that mistake. Like, even if you're not going to use it as a lead gen pool, which you really should, collect it, because one day Facebook can take away your group, and it'll happen. It's happened to a lot of people that I know. And you can restart it by saying, hey, something happened. We restarted and now it's XYZ group. Because you got to think, Facebook owns your group. You don't own it. But if you have an email list, you own it, and you have, that's an asset for your business.
Oh my gosh, that's probably the single biggest piece of advice you have ever gotten for free in your life, people, is to make sure you're collecting those emails. In fact, one of my favorite people in real estate is Karen Carr from Savannah. I don't know if you know Karen. She coaches on agents doing YouTube, and she's the YouTube genius.
Yeah.
She got her entire Facebook life wiped out. They would never tell her why. She still doesn't know what imaginary rules she violated, but because that was prior to collecting the emails, she had no way to get back to her people to even continue providing the information that they were looking for, because it's so arbitrary. And as you've mentioned, you don't have the control. So collecting the information is not about spamming people. It's about being able to reconnect if you need to, which is, I think, something we forget, that we have a responsibility when we're talking to the people who've given us their information. We can send information out, but if they don't want it anymore, stop doing it. So that's great advice. Okay. So obviously the angle of the show is the crazy things in real estate. And you've already just given us like a Facebook thing, which is fantastic. But in your time practicing in what is affectionately known as the DMV area, which if you didn't know this, y'all, that's what DC calls itself, DC, Maryland, Virginia. And I think it's hilarious, y'all call yourselves by the worst of the government agencies, which is the DMV. So in your time practicing real estate, and we'll leave the coaching side out because when we coach, we hear stories that we're trying to help people course correct from. But in your personal practice, What is the craziest thing you've seen that made you say, seriously, this can't be real?
Over the 10 years, I should have written some of this stuff down because I've forgotten over.
And one of those PTSD responses where you're purposely forgetting. Yeah.
Yeah, you're purposely forgetting because you're like, oh, I don't even want to remember this. The craziest thing I think I've ever seen was, it was during COVID and things were crazy, right? I mean, everything was crazy. I was telling a friend of mine how they were moving and the EMD was supposed to be delivered. And it was kind of during COVID, so you couldn't go to offices and they were just switching everything to automated. And the agent had it still in her car a couple like days later. We're like, where's the EMD? Where's the EMD? Something personal happened in her life, husband left, whatever. And she just lost it and didn't take this EMD to, I don't remember if it was going to the broker or title, but anyhow, she never delivered it. And my client was a lawyer. And, you know, they don't take kindly to people to follow the contract. Because, you know, I'm dealing with this client's lawyer and their things and dealing with their agent and their brokers and my brokers and title. Like, it was the biggest blow up I think I've ever had. And it was like, could you have just got it from the client and just driven it literally five minutes away to the broker's office and just dropped it off?
But you know, in our business, realtors get away with those lapses because we're very personable people. And almost every realtor has talked themselves out of a sticky point by saying, I'm so sorry. And they have used their personality to get out of it. But that doesn't work with the lawyer types of the world who have a strict methodology and time frame, and they expect you to follow that. So
yes,
honestly, the lesson to all realtors is, follow your deadlines and treat yourself like this is a business that actually matters. And I think that's a gap we see in agents all the time. They forget that they're running a business and that their actions do matter.
Yes.
And the public's told us we don't matter. So the public perception is a mess right now. They think agents suck. So as a result, agents don't feel like they have to step it up. It's a pretty nasty little Venn diagram we have.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you've got a lawyer on the other end and whatever's in those four corners, better be done because they don't mess around with you.
Maybe we should treat every deal like it has a lawyer on the other end. Just, you know, wild and crazy idea here.
Yeah, maybe one day.
It's so hopeful. Okay. So then on the coaching side of your business, what is an easily correctable mistake that you see your clients making?
With their Facebook group, it's posting real estate for sale, just listed, coming soon, like every day in their groups. Or not every day, but like once a week. No one cares. I love that you're a real estate, but they don't care. So what? You know, they just stop. So don't do that. Because just like on our social media, like, yes, you do need a little bit of social proof that you sold something, but don't put just sold, just listed. You know, weave a story into it. Make it more personable. You know, you help this person overcome these things and, you know, make a story out of it. Don't just, no one wants to see your just listed, just sold photos.
And for those of you in the back, pause, rewind, and let Laura tell you that again, because you think that the public cares and the public doesn't care. The only person who cares that a house got sold is the person who sold it. And they're not going to put it on their Facebook. So if your clients aren't going to share it and say, look, we sold our house for $1 bazillion, then why are you doing it? So just stop. Just that's all you got to do. And in fact, you could go look up Color Me Beautiful and see what season you are and post about that instead. So that is our content gift to you. Now that, you know, I'm a winter and Laura is, would you say you're an early spring?
Light summer.
Light summer. So she's a light summer, which means she can wear pastels. I cannot wear pastels. So there you go. Go learn something. Laura, if they want to reach out to you and find out more about your business in the DMV or your coaching business or how they can learn more from your skills as you've grown your Facebook presence, what's the best way for them to find you?
On Instagram or Facebook, it's at Laura Griffin Realtor or Laura Griffin Coaching. It's still too early for me, I guess, today. Or the course that I have is Groups to Leads. So taking your group and turning it into leads. That's the name of it.
Don't stress, friends. All of those links are in the show notes for this episode. So you can just go click to connect to Laura. And if you get that group started, then you should come back here and tell us the name of your group in the comments so we can come stalk you and see if what you're doing looks like something we want to copy too. Because in real estate, it's all about R&D, rip off. And duplicate, because you don't have to start from scratch. And that's why you came here today. And Laura, thank you so much for giving us some great insights and information. And can't wait to see who comes to visit your information and builds a new success model for themselves.
Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, say something nice in the comments, subscribe for more, and we'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.